And a little background for tonight. This week, hopefully you're able to catch Pastor's sermon on Sunday on Job. I've been telling people I think it's Camp Baptist classics. It'll be, you know, in the top five shelf for people to re-listen. It's just so powerful and wonderful. So I read that. I don't know if a lot of you know, but he has me write an article of Books of the Bible for the Little Flock magazine that goes to the church in Pakistan. So I was working by giving people a little explanation of each book to help them understand. And this week, or last month, the article was for the Book of Job. So he had that kind of article that was assigned to me, and then the pastor also writes an article, and he was going through wisdom from the Bible and was on Proverbs, and then a lot of that led to his article being from the Book of Job. So, one of those hard subjects and hard books to kind of preach on and get through, but he did such a wonderful job, and it is about trials and getting purified I just think just so appropriate. And if you're familiar with what I like to do on Wednesday nights, I like to try to tie things together and maybe wrap a little bow around stuff when given the occasion, unless it's, you know, some special day like April Fool's and stuff like that. Other ones I'll never live down. But anyway, and so I just really like this. So actually most of this, or a lot of this tonight actually came from Pastor Josh's article that he wrote for Little Flock magazine. He allowed me to plagiarize a lot of that, so that because we never get to see that or read that. It's by the time it's in the magazine, it's in what's the name of that language? Urdu language. And believe me, it's tricky to even look at, let alone read. And So I just want to share a lot of that with you, with some of the thoughts I've mixed in, and of course borrowed some stuff from Pastor Chapel, as I always do, from Lancaster. So tonight, I would just ask you a few questions that are a lot of questions that we probably think about out there. Are you tired? Are you frustrated? Are you easily provoked? I was going to answer some of them. Tired? Yes, definitely. Frustrated? Once in a while. Angry? Try not to so much. Easily provoked? I hope not. Are you discouraged? Well, unfortunately, once in a while. Are even friends and family letting you down? Do you feel like just dropping out, just disconnecting, as we talk about? Well, our title tonight is Don't Quit. Don't quit. And so we want to talk about that and these things we talk have kind of related to over the past several weeks. And it's just so important that we get purified and come forth as gold. I just love that. So, not quitting implies what? It implies that we finish. And that is the idea that I want to share again tonight, is how do we finish? You know, our Christian walk is often referred to as a race in Scripture. You know, and we walk, but yet we race. And yes, unfortunately, it is a marathon. In fact, when I thought about it, and if you'd been in one of my Sunday school classes, we had pictures of the steeplechase. It's like a steeplechase marathon. You know, those hurdles to jump. Puddles to get over and all kinds of obstacles besides just running the nice race. And it gets to be long and tiring and frustrating and just those things and especially nowadays. I certainly see when you go out and about, people are more easily provoked, more easily frustrated, or more, they get angry, it seems, more readily. We've always had that, but to me it just seems like it's more prevalent all the time. And so, as Christians, we want to look at that. So tonight, we want to turn to God's Word to find out how we can find courage and the strength to continue moving forward when we are overwhelmed and feel like quitting. We're going to start tonight and end tonight with wisdom right from God's Word. And so, Nate warned me in my nod. A couple of Proverbs. When you think of God's wisdom, you think of Proverbs. So these two, we're going to start, and you'll see this again and the end. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And if you don't make it through your faith, then your strength is small. Then 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. In other words, we need to get back up and keep going, where the wicked just go and do their thing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, I just pray tonight would be an encouragement and also a challenge to us that are going through trials and tribulations, many of a magnitude that we may not have faced before, and as a culture and as a society on even a greater extent, as things just tend to seem like they're crumbling around us, Lord, but we do not want to just quit and drop out. Lord, we want to finish strong. That is our prayer for tonight. Help me to get out of the way, Lord, and that your word would shine through and speak to each fertile ground and each heart this evening. We ask a blessing on our time in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you might recognize this guy. I actually had this picture up last time. It was an easy PowerPoint to do. The year of 1941 was a very dark and discouraging time for the people of England. The German army seemed unstoppable in conquering Europe. The Germans had already conquered France and had been bombing London with terrifying aerial attacks. America had not yet entered the war, and things seemed very dark. It was October of 1941 that Prime Minister Winston Churchill made his famous Never Give In speech to the young men at Harrow School. Part of the advice he gave them was this: never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Unquote. And just such good advice. You know, if you're like me, just some of the news and the stuff, it gets overwhelming. Go, you know, it's like overwhelming forces are against us and against, you know, the cause of Christ and the things we want to do in our society and our culture. And it's just under attack. And it's just so key to remember we should never give in. I like that quote. These are wise words. And as Christians, we also must have the courage to continue serving God and continue doing what's right, even when things are very difficult, and even when our situation seems hopeless to us. Today from the Bible, we'll see God's encouragement to not quit, and why we should continue to serve God and to do what is right. So number one, don't quit when life is hard. That's the first thing. Don't quit when life is hard. Life is hard, then you die. We used to tell our kids that, you know, when those things got tough. And again, Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength. And it's just a word of warning to us that to not grow faint. And just because things are adversely going, things aren't going our way. We are all facing trials. Sometimes those trials can be very severe. The question is, what does it take to make you quit? What does it take to make you quit? That's the question. Can anything make you quit? Can nothing make you quit? That's what we want to look at. Pastor Farouk, again, just preached a wonderful and powerful message from the book of Job. He taught, and we read in the Bible about Job, who certainly experienced far worse trials than most of us ever will. And we'll never have to endure some of those. He lost his wealth, his health, and his children. And his wife even suggested he curse God so he could. At the lowest point in his life, he admitted that he had no idea what God was doing. What is God up to? So there on the screen, Job 23, 8 through 10. Say, behold, this is Job speaking. I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. That's through verse 9. You know, like Job, again, do you feel like you've lost your way? Or do you wonder if God has totally abandoned you? You know, where is he? You know, what is he? Doesn't he remember me? Those questions. But look at Job's own beautiful response to those very questions on the very next verse, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Obviously, the song tonight was based on Job 23:10 right there. And just such a beautiful thought. He was going through worse things than we probably will ever have to, but he knew that God was with him and knew about it. It's an encouragement. So come forth as gold. So even when Job could not see or understand what God was doing, Job had faith that he was being refined and made better by the pressures he was enduring. And then again, we see the remarkable faith and endurance of Job. Job knew the secret to not quitting when he said, next verse there, 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Wow. Even if he slayed me, I'm not going to quit trusting in him. You know, sometimes a lot of us are quick to kind of bail on trusting God. You know, and Job would take it and ride that horse right to the end. He's going to trust God. Job's first instinct in trouble is not to wish that he had his home back, his land recovered from disaster, or even his kids back from the grave. His first cry is to find God, to find God in the whole situation. What a powerful example. We also must learn to flee to God first when trouble strikes. But too often we try to do things under our own power, and we need to flee to God. Why is Job so desperate for God? Because he knows that only God's strength is sufficient for these trials. He needs God to put his strength into him. You know, we've heard our pastor say that. Why get mad at the only person that can possibly help you? And that's God. You know, and we get in those bad of trials. He is the only one and the only way out. We need to continue to trust him. So then, number two, don't quit when you're persecuted. You know, we see that all around the world. Certainly the Pakistan church has felt some of that. We're seeing more and more of it in our own country. All suffering is terrible, but it can be especially difficult when you're suffering because of doing the right thing. We've all probably experienced some of that. Jesus warned us about this kind of persecution in John 15:18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. In other words, he's telling us we ought to expect persecution and hatred because they did him. He was there in the flesh and doing miracles and doing nothing wrong, and yet they persecuted him. Who are we to think we should escape because we're doing the right thing? Be nice if we did, but we can't quit because of that. We see a wonderful example of that in the story of Stephen. And the pastor just preached recently on that, and it just always encouraged and loved the story of Stephen and the first martyr. And it's there, Acts 8, verse. All right. Nate warned me about that. Okay. And Acts 8, through. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So here's a gentleman that was killed for his faith, and persecution was rampant. Paul, Saul at the time, was going to the houses and taking them out, putting them in prison, so people fled. But what'd they do? They didn't flee and hide. They fled spreading the gospel. What a wonderful example that is to us. As we things seems trying to close down on us, we should be spreading it out even more. Too many times we allow opposition, trouble, persecution, and enmity or hatred to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. But that is always a choice. We can continue to do right and work for Him no matter what is going on around us. The early church in Jerusalem faced harsh persecution, even to the point of death, for the preaching about Jesus. When they were forced to flee for their lives, they continued to spread the gospel everywhere they went. We never have to stop doing what is right, no matter how difficult circumstances become. We need to remember that. I want you to meet a gentleman here, George Lyle. I'd never heard of him, to be honest with you, and read about this in one of the daily devotion. He was actually apparently, I think he's the first African-American that was ordained as a Baptist minister back in the 1700s. So his story is that he was born into slavery in Georgia in 1750. He believed God had called him into ministry. He was believed to be the first American African-American ordained as a Baptist minister. His master, Henry Sharp, gave George his freedom so that he could begin traveling and preaching across the South. But when Sharp was killed during the Revolutionary War, his descendants tried to re-enslave Lyle, and he was put back in jail for a time. After defending his right to freedom, Lyle and his family moved to Jamaica. His persecution, his powerful preaching there, sparked opposition, and Lyle again was thrown in jail. Undeterred by the persecution, he continued preaching upon his release. By the time Lyle died, he had baptized hundreds and hundreds of converts and built a strong church in Jamaica. Good story. Good story. And not quitting under some pretty ugly circumstances and persecution, as you can imagine. There are often hardships in life because the devil is actively working to discourage and to defeat us and those that are working for God. We can feel sorry for ourselves and quit, or like Stephen and like George Lyle, we can continue to do what is right, trusting God for the outcome. The promises found in Scripture are not simply platitudes or kind expressions. They are guarantees, backed by the power of the Almighty God, the Creator, and His unfailing nature. As Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, reminds us, and I love this verse, in Kings 8, 56, says, "There hath not failed one word of all His good promise." Wow. And that should be a source of comfort and encouragement to us. Not one word of His good promises ever fail, and they won't fail. Scripture promises us that. There are always circumstances that could cause us to doubt and lose heart, but God's promises never fail. Through all our trials and tribulations, just that fact alone from Scripture brings us great comfort. We can have great peace and comfort. So then, number three, don't quit when you fail. Don't quit when you fail. Often the most discouraging of all trials are the ones of your own making. Those ones that can tend to really, I brought that on myself. Poor me. Well, our failings and our sin come with us. How can we not quit when we fail God? Or not quit when we feel that we have failed God repeatedly? Well, the Bible has the answer for us in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation or acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's Paul speaking, and you know, he persecuted that church. And no matter how bad we think we are, how much we fail, that's what Christ came for. Praise God. He came to save us because we are sinners and we fall and we fail. The Apostle Paul knew the secret to not quitting because of his own sin and failings. Paul was honest with himself and admitted to the fact that he was a great sinner. Remember that Paul was responsible for putting many Christians in jail, breaking up families, and even helping to get some Christians killed. Paul knew that he had failed God over and over again. Yet he also knew that Jesus hadn't saved him because he was a great or good. Jesus came to save sinners, just like Paul. Paul didn't quit over his failings because Paul's faith wasn't in himself. It was in Jesus, where he put his faith. Hebrews 11 records many of the heroes of the Old Testament. It lists men and women such as Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, David, and others. But if you read these stories, you'll see that all these heroes of our faith all failed. One thing they have in common, that we all have in common, is we fail. Sometimes they failed in very large and terrible ways. So how come they are heroes of the faith? It's because their faith was in God and not in themselves. Nice to remember that some with failings got mentioned in the heroes chapter. It's a good testimony. Then we have Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12. Back up a little. When you fall down, or when you're knocked down, get back up again. God is gracious and merciful. Don't stay in the mud and let the devil kick you. Get back up. Trust in the salvation provided by Jesus Christ and trust in God's willingness to forgive you and keep helping you even though you've sinned and failed and will probably do so again. He's there to help us. Then Psalm 103, 8 through 12, the Lord is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Wow. You know, he just doesn't even see them, doesn't even deal with them. They're with us. We feel bad about it. He's forgiven it. He no longer cares. The only way to accomplish great things for God is to stay at the work. No matter how long it takes or how hard it is, if we are doing what is right, we should remain faithful. Most great achievements are not the result of a few spectacular moments of public effort, but instead they come from patient and diligent work that continued on and on and on, even in the face of obstacles and opposition. So with that, I want to just recap, pretty quick and short lesson, and recap an application for us tonight. Number one, why shouldn't we quit when life is hard? Why not? Why shouldn't we? Well, because our strength is in God. We get our strength from Him. We don't want Him to quit, right? So, just because life's hard. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And He said, "Unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Wonderful words of encouragement and strength for us. The victory is not won through our great strength. It's indeed one through the reliance on God's strength at work in our lives. Yes, we must fight, but we are not fighting alone, nor are we fighting a battle which cannot be won. To be an overcomer, to not quit, we must utilize the strength and power that's made available to us as the children of God. Then victory is assured. We get this power of God by making sure we are spending time with the Lord every day, by reading our Bibles, being in prayer, and being faithful in church. As we walk with the Lord this way, God gives us the strength and the courage to continue to follow Him. Life can make us tired, but it cannot make us quit unless we let it. Good words. I like that. Life can make us tired, but it can't make us quit unless we let it. And number two, why shouldn't we quit when we are persecuted? Because our hope is in God. That's where we keep our hope. Matthew 5, 10 through 12 says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Might not feel real blessed at the time, people, but God's word says we are blessed if people do that. It goes on, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You know, like Job, they had it worse, you know. And we're going to get for a little suffering here, for persecution, we get the treasure and the rewards of that for the rest of eternity. Just pales in comparison, as the word tells us. Not to even be compared, because there is no comparison. The fact that there is trouble and opposition to us serving God does not require us to give up. We can keep going strong with His strength. And third, final application and recap. Well, why shouldn't we quit when we fail? Well, it's because our faith is in God, not in ourselves. Faith is only as good as what it's placed in. If you have great faith that a banana will save you from drowning, it won't matter. That banana is not going to save you. Whatever you place your faith in to save you must be worthy of that faith. What is your faith in? What is our faith in tonight? What are you counting on to save you from sin? The true question is not whether or not we ever fail, because we will all certainly fail sometimes. The real question is whether or not we will get back up when we fail. Get back up. Proverbs 24:16, as we said we'd end with, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." It happens over and over. The key is to get back up. The truth is, you cannot be defeated by the enemy. You can only lose by giving up. Don't let defeats, failings, or setbacks discourage you. Don't get discouraged or frustrated or angry. Get back up. Get up one more time, then you fall. I like that. You only have to get up one more time, then you fall. Fall eight times, get up nine. Something like that. Anyway. And in the end, you'll be victorious. God is looking for people who are fully committed and will not quit until the job is done. Like that. We have a job to finish and to do. And again, Winston Churchill, never, 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 never give up. Never give up. And then those from my class will appreciate my picture. If it will come. And to finish. You know, I just love that. He's still going up because he's finished. Victory, hands towards heaven, winning his race, winning the victory. And that's where we end up finishing, is in heaven. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight, Lord, and for your word is just so clear that we are not to give up. Lord, I just pray that you would help us, no matter the trials, the tribulations, the persecutions, our failings, our own personal failings, Lord, that you will help us overcome and to get back up, to keep the faith, to fight the good fight, to work towards you and bringing others towards you. Lord, thank you for loving us so much to give us the Holy Spirit to help us to do just that. Enable us, I pray, to continue on and to continue strong and to use your strength, not our own, to carry on your work. We thank you for all that this evening. thank for all those who are able to join us here in person and on live stream, that you would just bless each one with this and be an encouragement and help them to stay strong and not to get frustrated and discouraged and feel like quitting, but to get back up after our fall one more time. Thank you for it. Ask it in Jesus' precious and wonderful and glorious name. Amen.